field, people will come. And it doesn't happen. You have to look at how you're doing business.
Welcome to White Sox Business, a podcast about Chicago's Southside baseball team, hosted by me, John Greenberg, and Tony La Russa's new best friend, James Fegan. Subscribe to White Sox Business on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check out James's and my work on The Athletic as well. We've got a special $1 monthly promotion, theathletic.com/Southside. James, Tony La Russa's first Zoom call, I assume outside of maybe his grandkids. How'd you think it went?
All right, I guess. I thought his answers, like, they obviously weren't perfect. But, you know, I asked him about basically, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was his comments about kneeling and protest for the anthem and how, you know, basically five is returning players. I guess I incidentally declined Edwin Encarnacion's option for him because it would be six if I included him. But five of his players kneeled for the anthem to start last season, and he spoke very fervently against it multiple times. He didn't think it was the right way to protest, and it was disrespectful. And he expressed some more understanding of that he understood some sincerity for it. Now, he put these qualifiers on it about, like, that's involved in something active to actually combat it, and it's not just a gesture, and that, and I think Tim Brown of Yahoo came back with a very strong question that I don't think he had a particularly direct answer for about, like, what really gives you the
right. I don't even think he understood what Tim was saying.
The standpoint to say what is sincere and what isn't,
right?
Or to basically judge what is and what isn't a legitimate protest. Like, how do you kind of make yourself the arbiter of that? And I thought there was definitely some hemming and hawing on that. And the invocation of not having a racist bone in his body, I think that always misses the point that, you know, we're not talking about being a dedicated, malicious, intentional racist with the, you know, destruction of, people of color in mind. We're talking about having blind spots and racial insensitivities and parts and, you know, behaviors that lead to people feeling devalued and not listened to. And that's what we're concerned about. You know, when we're talking about someone putting in a supervisory role for a major league team and not, you know, is he a racist or isn't he, you know, exposing him like the thing or something like that.
Right.
So that wasn't great, but I thought in general, he knew that was coming. And I thought that he knows that he has to meet those guys halfway on that. And I guess you kind of saw him on that path to try to note that. I would say it's probably a lot easier for them to say, you should need to kind of go along and roll the punches and meet Tim Anderson, the guy who's hit 330 the last 2 years halfway, than it would be, hey, Tim Anderson's, you know, coming off like the worst year of his life, and he's in a really bad place, and he started to see counseling, but and we gave him like a long-term deal, and he hit 240, but you kind of need to deal with him on that. I think probably was a bit better that you had Rick Renneria on hand for that period than this, where he's a known commodity, and he can command so much respect, like, off the bat that La Russa kind of has to respond to. You know, same for Lucas Giolito and, you know, his outspoken progressivism. But, yeah, so not perfect, but I feel like he's aware a little bit that's a weak point that he needs to be aware of.
Right. Okay. And let's reset this a little bit for everyone. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you already know the situation, but, you know, just in case you stumbled upon this drunkenly, perhaps. We're talking about Tony La Russa getting the job as the White Sox manager 34 years after our general manager Hawk Harrelson fired him in the 1986 season, despite Tony La Russa obviously being a much smarter baseball person than Hawk. That's just how White Sox under Reinsdorf work, is that sometimes weird, stupid decisions get made. This was not out of the blue, obviously, because Bob Nightingale is the first one, and Bob got a lot of crap for it on Twitter for, you know, everyone knows he's tight with Reinsdorf, but he got a lot of crap for repeating this. People thought it was like just, you know, Jerry spouting off. But Bob was very sure that, you know, that Tony La Russa was a major candidate, and obviously it worked out for various reasons. So Tony was hired. He's 76 years old. He hasn't managed since 2011.
It was out of the blue, but it was out of the blue 3 weeks ago.
Right. Out of the
blue. We've had time.
Right. Three weeks ago, it's crazy. It was, you know, it didn't make any sense. And it really, frankly, doesn't make a ton of sense now. And, you know, that was my question to Rick Hahn, was kind of, what was your reaction when Tony said he was interested, you know, beyond saying, you know, an expletive? Initially, I think I was surprised, Rick said. What did you think of – now, so Rick gave a little intro for, you know, for our listeners who maybe didn't watch this live or listen to it live. Rick gave actually a very long intro, you know, trying to basically torpedo our questions, you know, by staking his claims. And, you know, he's trying to fight the narrative. But he also said that, you know, this is a Jerry. Jerry put this in motion. You know, what did you think of kind of Rick? It was also kind of like – it sounded like Rick didn't really want to talk too much. Did
yeah.
You get that vibe?
It was a long intro, but some of the shortest answers I can ever recall in 4 years.
And he kept prefacing it by saying, this is Tony's day. Let's talk about Tony.
Right.
Like, don't ask me questions is what he was basically saying.
He was not trying to, you know, bring it on him or center himself a whole lot. I mean, the whole guiding point that we had to this process was that Tony Russo did not sound like the endpoint or even a pit stop on what Rick Hahn described when they fired Renteria. Time melts away, but, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, he did not fit the description. And, you know, AJ Hinch did. And that was why and there was confirmation that he was viewed as an option initially in the process. So I think the main question I had for him and that he wound up answering was, how did we get from what you said to here? And I would say, you know, Rick does not tell us everything that's happening all the time. He does not, you know, letting us know the big board of depth chart. He's not giving us secrets, but I don't think Rick Hahn lies to us. And I don't think he intentionally misleads us. And you would probably have that conclusion if you viewed his statements and then the La Russa hire. And he admitted that, basically, when Jerry calls La Russa and La Russa actually says he's interested and he wants to come out of retirement after 9 years, that basically threw that whole process of, we're going to talk to so many guys and other organizations right. that have won and learned so much from them about their process. Sounds like that all kind of went out of the window. And he did defend the idea that they interviewed other candidates. But, you know, I think as far as, you know, interviewing the top bench coaches from the two teams that made it to the World Series right. and obviously AJ Hinch, that really didn't happen.
Right, interviewing Willie Harris, not quite the same right. as AJ Hinch and Alex Cora. You know, I mean, and that's, what do you think, and this is something that is speculated to me, is that Jerry put the kibosh on Hinch in general, you know, and maybe that was because of the cheating scandal, and yeah, he didn't want him.
That sounds like the general vibe that there's been, that he was just not interested in going down that road. I don't think it was a question of, we interviewed Tony and we interviewed Hinch and doggone it, Tony just blew Hinch away and there's nothing to do. I think it was an instance of, we don't want to go down that road as an organization, ultimately was what the word got from on top. And that's why we are where we are.
James will be right back after this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And Jerry, let's be honest, he knew Tony would be some. I mean, he had to have had an inkling that Tony was interested, right? I mean, he talks to him. You've written about and talked about, they've watched games together, not this season, but previously. I mean, he had to have known there's some interest that Tony has talked, because Tony talked about how he hates watching the game as a special advisor, or whatever other bullshit rule he had. You know, he wants to be down on the field. So Jerry at least knew that part.
Right. I would say that, you know, it's not like he's calling him up for the first time since that phone call in 1986 and say, like, hey, how's it going? He's still like managing. Right. I think he very much would be in the position as well as anybody to know what La Russa wanted to do with his career. And it clearly was, we were all skeptical of it. I was talking to Ken Rosenthal, you know, a lot through this process, saying like, man, I really don't know if he still wants to do that. And that was a widespread, you know, feeling, but Jerry knew better than all of us, it would seem.
And that was the big, you know, I think a lot of people in Chicago were like, you know, we had the idea that, yeah, of course, Jerry'd be interested in Tony La Russa, but he's going to cede to his front office who, you know, are going to want someone a little more current, right? And someone that's their guy, not the owner's guy. And that's the big hole in, you know, our assumptions, because Jerry doesn't really talk to us anymore. He doesn't talk to us anymore. He talks to Bob Nightingale. You know, he talks to a few other people that might have his ear a little bit. And I think that's kind of where, you know, the gap was. I mean, you've talked to people that, you know, they said, yeah, Tony is a candidate, but he's not the only candidate and there's going to be a process. And then it just seemed like there was no process.
It definitely seems like all of a sudden the track got greased towards him, and, you know, everything else kind of got pushed away to the sidelines.
Right. And Rick said he didn't want to lead anyone on, which, you know, leads you to say that it wasn't a real search.
Right. It doesn't seem like anyone else got even that far close to the finish line as Tony did once he got going. So I don't think this was the hiring process to dismiss. You know, he kind of said, you know, Tony hasn't been involved. You know, it wasn't an internal promotion. It wasn't somebody who was with the organization, and that way it wasn't an insular hire. But I think in terms of having the hiring process where you thoroughly review what's going on elsewhere in the game and talk to other organizations and really get the vibe of who the top candidates in the entire league are, I don't think that process that kind of removed all the doubt took place. I don't think they can dismiss those doubts now.
Yeah, it's so funny because they really want to have it both ways on that. And let you know that, you know, this is, you know, Rick Hahn's big speech to us all the time is everyone says the White Sox aren't going to rebuild. And I've heard the White Sox aren't going to do this. And really, you know, strutting around rhetorically of all the big changes they've made. So, and then they go and bring Jerry's buddy in.
I don't know if they don't want to have it both ways as much as, you know, not everyone's pulling the same direction on the rope.
It seems good like. Point. All right. That's a good point. Yeah. It's fascinating. Jerry's 84. He's had a pretty good run lately of getting what he wants. I mean, he got Harold Baines in the Hall of Fame, which literally no one agrees with except for him.
Tony
and
does.
Harold Baines. Right, and Tony. Him, Tony, and Harold Baines were very happy about that. Everyone else is a little confused. He didn't get Hawk in the Hall of Fame. Hawk got in the Hall of Fame, which tickles Jerry to no end because Jerry loves Hawk.
Right.
And now this. And then you look at the failures, you know. He told Jim Boylan to be the CEO of the Bulls and do everything. Literally one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Jim Boylan was one of the biggest bozos anyone's ever met that's coached an NBA team, and Jerry Reinsdorf wanted to give him more power because Jim was such a suck up. It appealed to Jerry, apparently. So, I mean, his judgment, I mean, the Robin Ventura, he could have hired LaRusso when Ozzy left. That was in 11, and that's when he hired Ventura, who had no business managing. Why didn't he do that then? That's a good question.
I mean, right? He probably really actually wanted to retire back then and didn't know that he would miss the game. I mean, I believe LaRusso's whole process of how he came to wanting this, and it's all seems very genuine to me, but I just don't think anyone as far as fans would really care. I mean, you don't root for the White Sox so you can see emotional closure for Tony La Russa. You want to see Luis Robert hit dingers or Tim Anderson and whatnot. I don't think it's really an angle that the public at large is really cares about. Not to be insensitive to it, but
right. And I don't think
I'd feel almost bad writing it up.
And I know everyone's concerned about, you know, the stuff you talked about, the social stuff, which was great. You brought it up early. You know, just to get him on the record about it and, you know, whatever. I don't think that's going to be a big issue. And I don't think like the bat flipping and stuff's going to be a big issue as people think. I think the thing I'm, you know, because he'll adapt. Like, even if he doesn't, he hates players, you know, protesting, whatever. He'll deal with it, right? I mean, he has to. You deal with what – he's not coming in as, like, the CEO of this team as he was with, like, St. Louis. He's coming in – or Oakland. He's coming in as, you know, a manager filling a role for maybe – we don't even know how long he's got this job for. He said he didn't even know. It sounds like it's year to year to me. So I think he'll be fine with that. The questions I have are, you know, are they getting the best Tony La Russa at 76, hasn't managed in 9 years? Is this right, the best?
That's, and the answer is no. That's what you're basing the meat of this hire in. Like, yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not worried that he's going to come in and tell Jose Abreu that you're wearing too many gold chains. Like, but you're basing this all off the idea that this guy's experience. He's won the World Series and he still knows how to do it, and that he's the guy who's going to push you over the top. And really, I think the strength that implies is really in doubt. We really haven't seen him tactically. He was ahead of a curve in his time. He's very analytically based, and that's impressive, and that will speak to his instincts. But for a very long period of time, Don Cooper was ahead of the curve and very analytically based compared to the field. And then the field catches up to you, because that's how careers go. You can't stay ahead of the curve forever. So yeah, I think what the justifying elements of this hire are very much in doubt, even more so than really maybe the softer elements that you might have concern about.
Let's take a quick break and hear from one of our sponsors. We didn't really get a chance to ask him about the players on the roster. That was actually the question I had, but they didn't give me a second. I didn't get a second crack. I wanted to ask him, like, what he's thought about the players, because he didn't really say anything.
That was part of why I asked the social concerns question so early, because I saw 65 people in the Zoom chat, and I thought, like, well, right. I only have a couple at bats today.
Yeah, I almost wish I would have just asked that first. I didn't think about it till later, but I figured that would come up at some point. He would talk about the actual current players beyond bat flipping and kneeling, that maybe he would talk about the players on the team and, if we could get him to name more than five.
I figured I could ask him about Eloy Jimenez's defense in spring training sometime. We'll get to it.
Yeah. And the coaching staff questions are kind of funny, because I don't think he's getting to hire the pitching coach or the hitting coach or how many hires is he going to get to make? One or two max?
I wrote in the brief that I don't think this is going to be a big wave. And, he obviously is going to call up like his old guys, but he called up Dave Duncan and that guy's retired.
Can't get Dave McKay because he's still under contract.
Who knows what Jose Aquendo is doing right now. But Joe McEwing was somebody who played for him. I don't know if he'd necessarily just throw him out on the street.
Right.
Maybe you can make an argument that, the whole argument that they had when they moved Nick Capper to the Major League coaching staff was that he was, the PD guy, and he has rapport, and they're bringing up all these young players, and it'd be ease their transition. Would that maybe help to keep someone like that on for the clubhouse that you're so worried about not messing with? Is that you keep some of the guys who have rapport with the players who have matured in his core and let La Russa do his, mad strategy thing and not have to touch that as much? I don't know.
This just whole thing speaks to me of Jerry being totally out of touch with the team, to be honest. And Jerry, for an owner, is usually pretty in touch with them. He obviously couldn't be around as much this year, really at all, I assume, after spring training. I don't think Jerry's thought about any of this stuff, to be honest. And I think he wanted this hire done. I don't think he wanted Hinch or Cora. And then it comes down to who's around. Like, who is your plan? And you have to wonder if the Sox did this and fired Ricky with the idea of hiring, knowing who they were going to hire, even if they said they were going to do all these interviews, of having an idea of hiring someone like Hinch. And then they couldn't do it. And then Jerry says, I want my guy. And Ricky O'Donnell wrote, and compared it to Jerry almost hiring Doug Collins to coach Derrick Rose as a rookie, which made no sense, which would make no sense given Collins' beliefs and Derrick's ability. But at the last second, he backed out because he said he couldn't fire Doug Collins. I guess he figures he can't fire Tony either. Tony will just retire again.
I mean, that was the funniest probably moment of the presser when people asked about whether or not, you know, Tony and Jerry are friends. And he's like, I don't know if we're still friends after 86, where you ruined my life.
It's so weird.
that was the only time I giggled during the presser.
You must have laughed when he did the Kenny Williams, when he was talking about analytics and for some reason said use Kenny Williams as his example.
I was laughing at a message I had received.
Oh, okay. Rick was laughing at that one. I saw him.
Yeah, that was Rick, a good example.
Yeah, it was very topical of Kenny Williams.
Kenny should stay stretched out in late games if he might get thrown in.
All right, we're gonna wrap this up, James. We know the reaction on Twitter has been 99% negative. Have you heard any positives from people?
Well, it's funny because Bernardo Flores, and I wrote about him when he was in AA at that Rickwood Classic that played in the old Negro League Park, mm-hmm. is like the biggest like baseball history nerd I've ever met, and so he like just has these weird, like, love of old baseball guys. So like, when the White Sox put out their Twitter announcement, Bernardo Flores, this 24-year-old pitcher, quote tweeted like, "Let's effing go!" And I thought, like, yeah, well, that's the target audience that got hit, the people who really loved 1970s baseball. So they've got that going for them,
which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is such a classic White Sox situation. This is like a joke, and I don't want to disparage Tony La Russa, but this is kind of like a joke someone would make, you know, before the season. Like, yeah, they're going to fire him and hire Tony La Russa. It's like an easy Jerry Reinsdorf joke, and it actually happened.
Now it'll just be an easy callback, probably for the rest of his time owning the team.
Yeah, this is something, man. But you know what? Hey, like, maybe we're all being too critical and ageist, and Tony La Russa is going to come whip this team into shape, and then we'll be laughing about our cynicism, our deep cynicism, James. I think that's probably not going to happen, but
I mean, there's a chance, if Han really just knocks his job out of the park, that he makes a team too good for a manager to really mess up.
Well, that's the one positive I heard from someone in the industry, one of my quote industry sources, is that maybe Jerry spends more this offseason where everyone else is retracting, because he wants to give Tony, a good team. And maybe he takes advantage. This is the time to take advantage. You don't even have to spend a lot of money this offseason. There's going to be good players available. Guys are going to get non-tendered. There's going to be free agents out there. So maybe this is a chance for the White Sox to reload. Jerry does a favor for his buddy, and everything works out, like you said. It's manager proof. And in general, Tony La Russa is, has unbelievable experience, great instincts. If he has the energy to do this job and the openness to, for new players and new ideas, then maybe it does work out.
There's a lot of guys, especially in that lineup, where the main thing to do managing them is put them in the write their name every day and get out of their way. That's at the point where the team is at a lot right now, offensively, with Tim Anderson, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Jose Abreu, Grandal, now that McCann is out the door. So I think they're imagining they're at a point where you don't have to kind of hold their players' hands through like their career introduction and their, being met with difficulty from the wider culture of MLB, like Tim Anderson was during portions of 2018, 2019. I don't think Tony La Russa and Andrew Vaughn are going to be at loggerheads or anything like that. it is definitely a job at this point that is a bit just don't steer the ship directly into the iceberg. Not to say the White Sox are a juggernaut, but like they, a lot of their big developmental questions have been answered. Maybe we'll just see that it doesn't matter as much as it seems like it does right now.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think it doesn't matter is a nice vibe, a nice a nice mantra. Managers don't matter. The 2021 White Sox, and Tony's like asleep with a bullpen card, his lineup card. All right. Well, at least Jerry's happy, right?
Right. All that matters.
all that matters. All right. This has been a special edition of White Sox Business. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you laughed, you cried. Maybe you cried before you listened, then you laughed. Please make sure to like us on all the mediums that you can like us. Give us a boost. Recommend us to your friends. This is going to be a really fun season. Fun for me, maybe not for James. It's going to be a really fun season, 2021 season of White Sox Business starring Tony La Russa. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.